You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The Around the NFL podcast is doing leg lifts under the desk.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hanzus. Got heroes here, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. Happy Mother's Day belatedly to all the moms out there that listen to the show, and there's a lot of them. But we're already spinning forward in this studio because we got a cool dad convention right now. We got a white denim jacket on Rosenthal, black denim on Sessler. I just want to green screen me and put the good angel and the bad angel on each shoulder.
Jacket bros.
Tell me what to do and how to play.
Last weekend when we went out, I commented I liked Mark's denim jacket look he's been sporting lately. So I went into my closet to try to find the closest thing I have and thought we could be jacket bros today.
Well, I really feel that connection with you, Greg.
It is. And you also asked me... Oh,
this is an advertisement. Check us out on YouTube.
How many episodes in a row could I wade through without whatever I wear or don't wear being commented on?
Well, it was funny that when we got together with a certain individual last week to celebrate times with a certain individual, that you asked Greg, because Mark was wearing this very handsome Levi's faded black jacket, jean jacket. How come you haven't said anything on the show? Because you're always bringing up sartorial choices of us on the program. And I said, this one was a big deal, the faded Levi denim, so I need to give it a little time to marinate. I knew it would be too hot if I came right away with a comment about it, so I gave it a couple weeks.
It's good strategy on your part. It's just like, I feel like jean jackets have been around for hundreds of years.
But not on you. Well, not since maybe, Lake Happiness, maybe.
Around those times.
Unfortunately, I don't have the same social graces or intelligence that Dan does, and I came in hot. And Mark did not like it when I brought it up. Even though I liked it.
I did what you did, Greg. I fired a shot back at whatever you had on your body at the time.
I wasn't taking shots.
All right. Welcome to the Monday edition of Around the NFL. As we kind of ease into our off-season sked, you'll get two eps a week until, around training camp, unless things pop up here and there. We'll be doing shows from here in the studio. We're at, as I said at the top, the Chris Wessling podcast studio. But we'll be doing some remote shows too. And maybe we'll do a road show. I want to have a conversation about that, a road show.
Well, we've also got the big theology podcast on the docket too.
So that is this the year?
Be a big week.
Yeah, later this summer, I think. But for both of those things, I think the road show, multiple stops, or you're just saying we go on the road to one place?
All this stuff, I guess, that's for a meeting, an extended meeting, Mark, for us all after the show. I'm talking a beefy 60, 75 minute.
I'll be forming my verbal strategy during the show to ensure my quick exit.
Today's episode is a fun little exercise that to kind of take a look at the landscape of the NFL as we enter kind of a very quiet period on the calendar. voluntary mini camps have taken place. When will the quote unquote mandatory camps, veteran camps?
The first and second week of June. They wrap up, I think, June 13th to 15th is the second week of them.
Right. So this feels like a good time to break out our glossary of terms, 2023 NFL offseason. And as I recall, Mark, we enjoyed doing this last year, but it's kind of annoying how many letters there are.
Yeah, I mean, that's something they could have dealt with from an alphabet-wise, you know, scenario a long time ago. But they continue on with, oh, we've got to have 26
letters. A little
letters.
Bit of bloat. Like, you have your baseball season is too long thing. I would love a pivot to the alphabet is too long.
I think they go on. Monologue. I mean, I'm correct on the baseball thing.
Oh, I love it. I love the glory of a long season and the twists and turns of it all.
But this, to your point, this episode, I looked at last year's, was like an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So we've made it an adjustment to it, I believe.
We have.
Just be happy we're not, you know, producing this show in China or, like, you know, with the Chinese language as our background. Around 50,000 Chinese characters. Apparently, an average adult, I know, is maybe about 8,000. So that would be an extremely long episode. That would be a year.
So you say that as a bullet dodge. So what we're doing, we're going to break this into two parts, A through M today, N through Z on Thursday. But, you know, think like year 20 of ATN, and we're just like, what the hell are we going to talk about? We'll just do the Chinese alphabet in 2034.
Yeah, it feels braggy to have that many letters.
A little bit.
Symbols.
Turn it down. Turn it down a little bit. Make an adjustment. All right. Anything else before we get into the glossary?
No. I want to see how you transition.
China takes a shot.
No,
it's
no shot. I'm just saying that would be
factual.
Problematic if we were trying to do it. And also seems like very difficult.
And for most of
headline
our listeners to learn.
For this podcast episode, Greg Rosenthal, China problematic. We're covered.
I thought you were the problematic one here.
the gears are turning toward Rosie, as they call it.
Japanese got about 8,000 characters, and that's come up because my kids are learning a little bit. You know, there's like the most basic language, but like you try to get to the third level.
Right.
Well, little
nugget. What are you going to do?
Freshman
you're going to learn 7,500 characters?
I took Japanese thinking my dad told me it would be smart for you, like no known future. Right. If you want to be a businessman, you need to know Japanese. 3 months later, I had a raging, I think I got about a 42 out of 100 score in that class and just got a flying F. Never revisited the language, never will.
At least it was a flying F. You know? Let's get into it. The glossary of terms. And we're going to go all over the map here. Hopefully, we don't have too much overlap. But by the time we finish this exercise at the end of the week, you're going to be totally immersed in the NFL experience. And let's start with A. A for all is quiet.
Oh.
Just kind of a little preamble here, a little touching on what we just hit. Like, I'll use your old job, Greg, as an example, Pro Football Talk. Scrolled through their content for the last week or so. About 84% of it is rookie contracts being signed. Never the most electrifying read, especially in the post-rookie slotting era of the CBA.
There's literally no drama whatsoever.
There is one editorial that was curiously posted after 10 p.m. Eastern last night. Title, Should NFL Shut Down on Mother's Day Weekend? Some takes in there. So, my point being, there's just not a lot going on right now.
So, wait, it was disrespectful to the mothers to do rookie minicamps?
It was.
I think that was the thought.
It was pointed out that back in 2004... this is Mike Florio who wrote it. Receiver Plaxico Burress boycotted a mandatory mini camp that was set for Mother's Day weekend. Apparently, Scott Pioli, our colleague, had reached out and got a little spicy on Twitter, talking about how, you know, there should not be these activities. Football is family, or so he believes.
What about the other 18 holidays that they've totally laid siege to?
I don't know. And I also I don't know how it would play for players to be like, you know, hey, coach, love to put on some khakis and go to a brunch. So can I miss practice this weekend? I don't know if that would go over very well either. So it's almost like you just kind of grin and bear it if it's falling on that weekend.
That's it. Well, it gave Mike Florio something to do. So
that's true. But anyway, we get to take a breath and kind of churn through the minutia of it all. So I'm happy if you're listening to the show right now that it's not the most action-packed part of the calendar, but it's all quiet.
It's kind of coming, though. I mean, at least there's players on the field. You can. There is something about seeing Anthony Richardson throw a ball far while wearing the Indianapolis Colts jersey that just, like, gets me going a little bit and, you know, gets you thinking about the future. And then soon there'll be OTAs. But the difference between now and 2004, for instance, when they were doing those mandatory, like, veteran minicamps, is just there's so much less this time of year. We basically have the next 3 or 4 weeks, but it's pretty light. Even the mandatory minicamps are light, whereas back in 2004, there were 15 OTAs. Most teams took them all. Most teams, it was semi-required, and you would do one or two mandatory minicamps where people are really tackling stuff. It's a totally different offseason, and I, for one, welcome it.
Yes, all right. B. Who has B?
I've got B, and that's going to be the word a boing. Let's hear it. I mean, this... Okay.
Ew.
Oh, I don't know. We want to try that out. That would be the sound that best describes me when a player from my top 101 finally gets signed. You know, the top 101's still sitting out
Wait,
there.
Wait, so what is the boing exactly? I'm sorry, I'm the problematic one here?
Well, let's hear it. It's just like a fun word. Sometime with this glossary exercise, we're in year three. You just see the letter, and it just a word pops up, and then you got to retrofit something that comes to it. Boing. It's an onomatopoeia, you know. It's not officially in the dictionary, but I think it can be used in many different ways. And I do get excited when players come off the 101. I thought, again, to kind of intro this exercise, this time of year, I have noticed lately, I'm not saying GMs are, you know, going through my list.
Greg, be careful here.
But there have been quite a few players that have been picked off from the list lately. Isaiah Wynn, maybe I'll mention a little later, a couple different players. They're all between 25 and 75. And it's a reminder, a lot of these guys that are signed this time of year end up having a way bigger impact than all those first and second round picks that, like, we've spent 2 or 3 months talking about. So some players still left. Only 11, like I said. Yannick Ngakoue, he can give you some pass rush.
Sure.
Not much of a run stopper. Jadeveon Clowney, I think he can at least give you 500 decent snaps for you. Dalton
Reisner. He won't try necessarily hard, but yeah, I mean, it'll be great.
Dalton Reisner, pretty good guard who's out there. Marcus Peters, he's visiting the Raiders this week. Leonard Floyd, I thought had a solid enough season last year. He's like a decent starter. Melvin Ingram, who always starts every season great, then falls off. Teddy Bridgewater, still looking for a job. Frank Clark is still looking for a job. Bryce Callahan, who had a nice season in the slot for the Chargers last year. Justin Houston, who signs every year in August and then ends up being quite good. And then John Johnson, who really struggled with the Browns, thought he might end up back on the Rams, but they're not signing anyone. These are all guys who went into free agency. They're not unsigned because they're terrible. They're unsigned because they all had expectations of making a certain amount of money in free agency, and it just wasn't happening for them. So they will have jobs at some point. And, like, these guys will help, like I said, a lot more than plenty of second and third round picks.
And the overwhelming majority of the names you just listed of remaining guys are over 30. They're on the graybeards.
Almost, literally all of them except Ngakoue and Reisner, I think.
I don't know. Johnson. Is Carson Wentz coming up in any capacity in this?
I read a report today that this sounds like it came straight from his agent, that he's receiving interest and is open to playing any role. That could be even maybe off the field. I'm not sure what that would
entail. So, Wentz and Bridgewater, both 30 years old, the two quarterbacks from the graybeards, still out there. Wentz, you know, interesting how it seems like the way this is going now, it's going from he found a starting job last year and now he's just trying to be in the league. Which tells you a lot about Washington.
He's played himself out of a multiple starting jobs. So I think it's like when they start, you know, Greg, not doing these OTAs, but they're hitting each other and a quarterback goes down in a calamitous scenario. Suddenly Carson Wentz looks a little bit better than he does in early May.
Right. And you don't have to give up the compensatory pick. Now, like, we're into that time of year. Rock Ya-Sin, who I thought was a really good signing by the Ravens recently. It's just like these little ones. The Jets finally brought Connor McGovern back, and like then they drafted someone, so that was a little surprising. But, like, just these little signings, they matter.
And Robbie Gould still out there? Cowboys still without any kicker? What are
they
doing?
They have a kicker who has 12 field goal attempts in his career, so go get Robbie.
What are we doing? what are we doing? Is Robbie Gould asking for too much money? Because guess what? He's worth it. Go get him. All right, the letter C, Mark Sessler.
I like to write little odes, so this is my...
Mark with a C, by the way.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you you assigned these, so I'm glad you gave me the
dog. Mark with the C.
There you go.
We're now just doing live interpretations of old drops. I saw Mark Ingram in
just
the
best we can do
week,
at this point.
You know who saw in the hallway today?
Who?
Ndamukong Suh. I'm sitting at my desk. You know how where we sit, everyone just sort of...
Yeah. Mark with a C.
He even looked to see what I was doing on my computer.
Did he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was his only goal, but he can't help but look at
it. I was hoping for a second, the way that story was set up, that he was sitting at your desk, and then you were going to have to ask him to move.
That wouldn't go well.
I walked by him
as
well.
Stomped to the nuts.
He's much larger than me. For half a second, he looked at me like, do I know that guy? Did he interview me at like the rookie premiere in 2011? Mm. Oh, no, I don't.
Did he bring me and Lee Iacocca hot fudge sundaes at the Ford plant? I can't remember.
Or is a small child roaming the building?
With a cool dad jean jacket. Let's go.
The letter C, Mark. Go ahead.
You want to do this? All right. C is for
cheers. That's a loaded question, by the way. Go on.
I don't know why I've written these out, but like C is for cheers. Cheers to all those who cover the Denver Broncos and really talking heads everywhere for, up to now, pumping the brakes on ponderous theories and or credibility-free think pieces on the presumed turnaround of Russell Wilson under the watch of Sean Payton. It's a space where we could definitely see gabbers and attention-seeking rah-rah journos take possession, take claim of the Russell Wilson bounce-back narrative, and so far, it's pretty quiet on that front. A collective chill pill has been swallowed. So cheers to you, fellow football heads.
Bad news. And you're right. You're so right.
Right.
May 15th. And when Russ gets to the veteran camp and then training camp, I think that's going to be a very well-massaged narrative.
I'll take what I can get, because I thought even in another world, the minute that Sean Payton was hired, this could have started. And I think it starts with the fact that Sean Payton doesn't seem that into Russell Wilson or Russell Wilson's private office in the building or Russell Wilson's private training staff. He sort of bumped against that verbally every time. So I appreciate Payton on this.
You know what I think it is? Greg, I'm curious. I know, because you were a little ahead of this Wilson thing. He was so bad last year that he looked cooked. So I think it didn't feel like necessarily he was in and Hackett did poorly, as did the whole organization there, to really set them up for success. And they had injury issues, of course, as well. Bad offensive line play. They lost Javonte Williams. They lost wide receivers. It was a bad year in Denver. But I'm operating under the idea that he just is one of those players, and it does happen, where their shelf life was shorter than expected. And you're going to get a lesser version of him almost every year until he's essentially a backup in his mid-30s. That's kind of where I'm at now.
Limited.
And I'll be happy to be proven wrong, because he seems like, in some ways, a good guy. He's very active in charity, and Sierra, they go around the world together and they have a great old time. But he might be shot, Greg.
He might be shot. I think there will be puff pieces. I think there will be hope and expectation. And I don't think it's unreasonable that with Sean Payton there and the weapons that they have, that he'll bounce back to like average. That he'll be closer to what he was the last 3 weeks of the season, when he was like, he made a couple Russell plays and wasn't like a total nightmare. And he'll have a couple good weeks. And at the end of the year, you know, he's ranked 18th in QB index, because that would be a bounce back. He was one of the worst three or four quarterbacks in the entire league. The NFL, I thought, didn't totally get out of the Broncos business. They did give him three primetime games.
Good fan base,
I guess, but
pretty
three,
big market.
You know, Chiefs, Vikings. He has a Sunday night game against the Vikings in the middle of the season. An NFL Network one on Christmas Eve against the Patriots. So I know that. You haven't heard the Russell Wilson hype, but I do think the Denver local media is buying into the Sean Payton hype. I'm starting to see that.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Also, it should be noted once more that Jared Stidham was poached from the Raiders on the first day of free agency by Sean Payton. So,
for pretty good money.
At a good rate. So I don't know if he is a middling quarterback, if he is a so-so quarterback, and they are a 4-5, 5-7 team. I don't imagine he's going to stick with Russell Wilson. If they were so hot in the pants to bring the backup in. They probably are going to want to see the backup if they're already thinking internally we're starting to turn the page.
I think it's creating a narrative to break free from Russell Wilson after this season, which probably had to have been promised to Sean Payton. You know, their third quarterback is named Jared Garantano, and it's spelled they have two Jareds spelled exactly the same way behind Russell Wilson. So there's a lot of heat coming
out. That's
a lot. Ben DiNucci, I think.
Hey, Ben DiNucci!
USC? NFL. Hey, I don't know which one he was at.
Cowboy.
What you up to, Benny DiNucci?
He's on the Broncos. There aren't many receiver groups that are better than the Broncos. I know they might trade.
I feel like we were saying that last off.
I get it,
too.
But now they've kept that. They kept adding Sutton, Patrick, Jerry Jeudy. I like KJ Hamler if he stays healthy. Marvin Mims is a second round pick. We didn't really hit on that, but he's a nice player. Marcus Callaway's your six. I mean, he's got some weapons.
Not bad. Not bad. All right. And let's move to the letter D. D is for desperate. Mm. The Bengals, they're a little desperate for their place in the sun. And I don't even hate on them for it necessarily, but a little needy, reaching out to the NFL and saying, "Hi guys, it's us, the Bengals. Not only do we want to be on Black Friday this year, we would like to preemptively put our name in the hat to always be the Black Friday team. We want to be the Lions of the day after Thanksgiving. How about us, guys? How you feel about us?" And
I kind of love this.
And Mike North, NFL executive Mike North, schedule guy. He's like the Peter North of schedules. Like, he's the guy.
Okay.
He said that, hey, listen, the Bengals actually raised their hand and volunteer and said, we'd be happy to host the first Black Friday game. He's the vice president for broadcast planning, North. In fact, we'd be happy to make this a tradition. How about Black Friday in Cincinnati every year? I'm sure that will be. And then he added, I'm sure that will be something to explore moving forward. So I like the play. I like the aggression, but also it kind of came off as a little like, you know, when you like a girl in high school and you kind of overplay your hand a little bit.
Some people beyond high school do that.
Right, exactly.
See it out on the town all the time.
You just kind of overplay your hand instead of playing it cool. Like, they probably, if they would have just raised their hand and say, how about Black Friday for us? We've got Joe Burrow. We're a powerhouse.
Right.
And then if it goes well, like, maybe you start to say, hey, we'll do it next year too. But to come in hot and say, we want Black Friday this year and every year. Cool. It came off a little D, doesn't it?
I absolutely could not agree more. The only little addendum I would throw in there that maybe is sneaky smart by them, because it does look like all those things, is that means, number one, for the rest of time, everyone attached to the Bengals organization spends Thanksgiving Day at home with their family.
Right.
They got to go to work the next day, but that's true of a lot of people. But it's like, you're never going to have to fly somewhere else or, you know, lug a bunch of equipment to, Detroit or fill in the blank on Thanksgiving Day. Other than that, I don't think that was part of their strategy. It just simply, they look like teenage boys.
Might have been. I mean, the Brown, they are a family-owned business. One of the few left. I mean, in terms of like the original NFL families, maybe they were trying to just keep it all tight on Thanksgiving, not go out. Katie Blackburn's running that ship now. It's sad, especially because it feeds into Midwestern insecurities.
Yeah.
Is Cincinnati in the Midwest? Did we ever get a...
It is. Wes tried to pitch that it was in the South, I believe, which was a...
It's close to Kentucky.
That was pretty out there, yeah.
It's really feeding into the insecurities of East Coast bias because, you know, Mike North, who... I don't know if the Bengals would like him putting this business out there because it does make them look a little pathetic. He said that Amazon requested that one of the New York teams
I know,
play.
I saw that. I was going to make that point next. Amazon reached out to us. Yeah, and Mike is very, he's like very talkative about this. Like, he is letting people know that Mike North is in charge. Amazon reached out to us and said, New York is the number one retail market in the country, and a game in New York might be a fun way to introduce this concept.
Mm.
The Giants-Eagles was also considered. So, yeah, this does... And I understand, even as someone who's a native of New York, I understand why those frustrations exist, since he just played a little strong in their hand there.
It's a great information from Mike North, who just seems to want to dish left and right. I mean, it's...
Can we get him on the show?
I think we should. I mean, it seems...
It sounds like he'll talk about literally anything.
He would absolutely want to come on the show. I know Mike North a little bit, because the first year I worked for the NFL,
right,
I had a desk...
We've heard about this desk.
Essentially in business development. which didn't make any sense. But right around the corner, the scheduling
north of you?
Department. And they were, you know, they were friendly guys in that department, you know, just a few desks away. And they would get very busy and stressed. And I remember I once asked to, like, go look at what's going on their boards. They wouldn't let me do that. But he was a nice guy. I do remember once at the NFL office, and this was not Mike North, but a certain higher ranking executive went by my desk and was very upset that NFL.com was mentioning the NBA. They were like comparing athletes to LeBron, and they were like, we can't have that. Like, we got to not give
the NBA. Can't be comparing these athletes to NBA players.
No, you can't. That. Like, we cannot cannot give them any juice. And he held me personally responsible. I was like, I don't know.
I remember writing roughly 12 around the NFL blog posts about, would LeBron James make a good tight end for the Dallas Cowboys? Metrics gold it was. All right, let's take a break and we'll move on with the glossary of terms, part one.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. We're up to letter E with Greggy.
All right, my word is expectations, as in the Cleveland Browns should have high expectations this year. This is coming off the Za'Darius Smith trade, which we haven't hit on this show yet. Za'Darius Smith, who had a great first half of the season for the Vikings and has had a great career in general, before falling off down the stretch, and we talked about he wanted to be traded, he wanted more money, got dealt to the Browns for a couple day three pick swaps, essentially nothing, just a contract dump where they give up a couple fists and they get a sixth and a seventh back. It's nothing. And they get a really good second pass rusher if he can stay healthy and if they can kind of keep him focused, which has been an issue for Za'Darius Smith. And as you mentioned about Clowney, just that position in general for Cleveland. And I just started thinking, this team has had a really nice offseason. I like what they did adding Elijah Moore and Cedric Tillman. I think the offensive line's in good shape. You still have Chubb, you know, Njoku, Conklin signed long-terms. Like, I liked what they did in the draft. You bring in Dalvin Tomlinson. It's a good secondary. I look at this roster, I think it's a very good roster. And I think there should be high expectations for the Browns. I don't know if they'll hit him because I don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to ever get back to the way he was. But this is year four of Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. You gave up a boatload of draft picks and gave a guy the most guaranteed money in the history of the sport. Of course, there should be massive expectations. And I actually think if Watson can play, they have the team to reach them. And if they don't reach them, I think there's going to have to be changes, because year four, like, what are we doing here? What was the Watson trade and all that misery for, if not to win some games? I love the Smith move. I like the roster general.
I think we got back this offseason to Andrew Berry being the guy that I found so fascinating, the way that he quickly builds a team. I think he's done a better job than Stefanski. You're right. Watson is the absolute X factor there. But Myles Garrett, who's sort of been, along with like Denzel Ward, alone on that defense. Jim Schwartz, I think people forget, is the new defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You've got Myles Garrett. You've got Okoronkwo. You've got Za'Darius Smith. Last year, that interior defensive line was a mess. You've got Tomlinson. Jordan Elliott's a good young player. They can move guys all over the place, because Smith is someone that you can line up along with everyone else. And the defense, to me, which has been a real weakness at times in the past, if you look at their PFF grades on both sides of the ball, there really isn't a raging weakness other than the lowest score of anyone is Deshaun Watson. So you have to find out what he is.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of was saying this when you did the GM rankings. I thought you had him too low, Andrew Berry, because of Deshaun and all the heat that was cooked into that. But, like, he has overall done a pretty good job, I think, building out this roster. And I think people, and this is why you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube with Watson, because you could say he's back to who he was. Well, everything changed when they brought in Watson. So no matter what happens, and I think this is ultimately the grand oversight of the Browns, no matter what happens, even if they go to the Super Bowl this year, people are going to only talk about in those 2 weeks going up to the Super Bowl, I can't believe Deshaun Watson's playing in the Super Bowl. Like, you got in bed with a character that really changes fundamentally how people view the team. However, you can't look at this roster and not say that's a playoff team if Deshaun Watson gets back to who he was. And I think that he is more likely, and I know it was not a good six games. In fact, it was a pretty bad six games. I think it's more likely he returns to form or something close to it than he just sucks now. Because when you break down why would he be bad, you would look at things like, is there a decline in skill, age-related decline? Is he playing with no skill talent? Is the offensive coaching not up to snuff? None of those things are the case. So I think
is he mentally tough?
Is he mentally tough?
Well, he wasn't last year.
I have to
say,
though, and this is, we're separating some things now. Of course he has a level of mental toughness. He made it to the NFL. He was a college legend
right
at Clemson and became a superstar quarterback. It's all still there, and whether people like it or not, there is absolutely reality where the Browns kick ass this year.
I think so. And I guess, yeah, that's why I wanted to throw that out there, because I think the Smith trade was the cherry on top of, like, they should be expecting a lot, though. The reason why I don't feel bad that he's low on the GM rankings is it's a huge risk, and if it doesn't work out, that's all on him. That's all on them. And, like, what are they doing here? Like, it ends up being one of the worst trades like that you could come up with. And Browns fans just kind of can't have it both ways. They don't like pointing out that he was worse than Russell Wilson last year. He's one of the worst five quarterbacks in the league, I would say. And it was the worst six-game stretch of Watson's career by far. Like,
well, there's no other stretch like it.
Right. Even as a rookie, like, there was no other stretch like it. You can't have it that you can't say that and, like, say, well, he's coming back, and then also say, well, there's no expectations this year. Like, I think Browns fans probably do expect this team to be good. Maybe I'm wrong, but, like, you can't also, like, tamp down saying, like, well, we're just trying to get back to winning 9 or 10 games. It's like, what are you doing this for? That
you're four
of this program.
I follow tons of Browns fans, and, like, I think the expectations from those who are, like, seeing all this that you mentioned are very high.
Yeah, that's I agree.
I think there's a lot of pressure on Stefanski.
I agree. And Barry, I think.
Browns are...
Jimmy Haslam hasn't stuck around with these GMs too long.
Browns...
This time he has.
Start 5-0 in October. What are you up to over there, Mark?
Well, I'll see. I mean, I'm not... You know, it's like I...
It's my check-in, my...
I know we do this...
Periodic check-in.
We do this periodically, but, let's just see what happens.
It would be... They would be a big story. They would absolutely be a big story. And you brought up the Browns hype of a couple of years ago when we talk about the Jets and their season coming up. Such a big difference with that team in terms of hype, because it was built on soggy foundation ultimately, because Baker was the problem and he was the quarterback.
And the defense.
Defense has never been good.
Yeah.
If Deshaun can play, quarterback's not going to be the problem.
Yeah, defense needs to not be too. They have been a total letdown. Heck, they could have... I think they could have made the Super Bowl that their offense was good enough to make the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield that year. But the defense.
Yeah, he wasn't always the problem.
Flying F, Mark.
All right. Again, I wrote this in the middle of the night, so I'm just checking back into it now. But I want to let you know how I feel about this letter.
I totally believe that.
You also texted us at 6 in the morning. So
well, no, that is a factual account of how this occurred. F is for F me. I'm a Patriots fan.
Oh, no.
Well, hold on.
Mark.
Here's the problem. We're not bad. We're boring. We're right down the middle. A big fat bowl of heavily textured cottage cheese. A beacon pointing only to yesterday. If I'm a 16-year-old Patriots fan, I've been duped into this by a gaggle of hard-drinking Worcester, Mass. Uncles. They've known nothing else but ease since the turn of the century, slapping each other on the back and walking around their workplaces, parroting little Belichickian phrases.
Can we get a split screen of Mark and Greg for the balance of this read? Go ahead, Mark.
Little Belichickian phrases. Little Bill wannabes in every desperate corporate office. Men cradled in swaddling clothes through the childlike ease of 6 Super Bowls. Every Christmas morning is Christmas. Every dawn, there's a bulging Easter basket by your bedside. But if you're that 16-year-old Patriots fan, the feeling is different. The feeling is that of being flung out of a moving vehicle along the burning Mass Turnpike, 7 feet above the ball boys. They're silenced, rotting corpses, a minor price to pay for touchdowns. Their flesh will produce springtime flowers. That's how the earth works. But this time, those flowers are being delivered from somewhere else. The House of Satan. Welcome to your endless winter, a 32-year period where you will know in great detail every inch of sports Siberia. I'm sure you'll stick around. That's my report on the New England Patriots.
See, yeah, I like football. I like football season and all the things that go with it.
So you guys, you didn't like it. I remember Wes didn't like it when I brought up that I was getting out when Brady leaves, but it looks like it was a good move, you know.
Well, you didn't stick around.
Yeah, that it reminds me of
lacked character.
What Tony Soprano said in the first episode of The Sopranos, where he's talking about, you know, what it was like growing up around the heyday of the mob in Jersey, and he kind of comes to a realization. And he says, "Lately, I've been getting the feeling that I came in at the end. The best is over," and right. That's not just the Patriots. There's a lot of fan bases through all sports that you kind of come of age after a glory period.
Golden State Warriors, your 10-year-old fans here.
Yeah, but it's particularly probably annoying for the teenage New England sports fan who get the Celtics and the
well, yeah, it's not all
bad. The regular season, at least. There was actually a 20-year run. So it was like an endless summer that you don't now have. I just like that someone else is speaking on this topic rather than me, and I'll say no more.
Well, forget the teenagers. At least they got some great fun at, like, great times to be a fan when they were 10, 11 years old. My poor son Walker is jumping into the Patriots fans. He's 8 years old. He can't remember that Rams game.
No, you don't have
it's
to.
Been nothing but mediocrity.
You live in Southern California. You don't have to.
I haven't been pushing it on him, and he's quick to jump to whoever's winning. But in his heart, actually, the Patriots are his number one.
But you're not really following the Patriots too closely.
I am. I mean, I'm rooting for him, but I'm not. I don't feel the. I felt this, and I really noticed during this. You know, Celtics run. I don't have the emotions, and I think because it's work related, but I don't have the same devastation on a losing Patriots game or win. I feel more like a fan with the Celtics.
You used to, Greg. I remember being at those Super Bowls with you. Your body was quivering.
6 titles. So I would think, as someone that is a reasonable person, deep inside, you know, how mad can you get when you get 6?
I also, I agree with that, and I think it's healthy with our work if you feel like being loyal to football and disconnecting a little bit from your team and still rooting for them. They're still the only team that really, you know.
Just supporting the Shield, you're saying?
Yeah.
Blindly
just
support
like
the
Rob
Shield.
Rob Lowe. This roster's not terrible. That's the weird thing. I think the schedule's tough, but I think they're going to be a pain. And they'll probably annoy everyone, and they'll probably win 8 or 9 games again somehow.
That's what I said the other day.
Like right down the middle.
Right.
It makes sense in a loaded AFC East on paper that the Patriots will eat dirt and go 4-13 and be feasted on by all these teams. There's logic toward that, but it's probably not how it's going to play out. It's a credit to Belichick, even though now Bill has something to prove. Such a huge year for Belichick.
I think he's trying to be good on defense because that's what he knows and feels like he's best at. And they have set up a young and very versatile secondary. They added to their front seven. I actually think on paper, the defense could be a top five or six defense. And they played like that really the last couple of years without the same amount
of
talent.
It's the offense that needs to be so much better.
Yeah, the offense needs to be a lot better.
Well, counter-argument, we were downstairs watching, on NFL Network, the Rams, the first Rams-Patriots Super Bowl. And it's, 6 minutes into the fourth quarter, and Tom Brady has 96 yards.
Right.
And the defense is not allowing the Rams and Kurt Warner to do anything. So back to the roots, maybe, but still kind of boring.
That was a boring. People thought that 2001 team was boring, and
they were easy to root
until it wasn't.
Well, they started like 1-3, I believe, that year.
They were fine. It was fun. I was in Boston for that ride.
They were like the 25th highest scoring offense for the regular season or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. All right. Let's see. G is for Green, Trent replacement. Matt Ryan joining CBS. And I just want to say, first of all, I don't actually believe that. Trent Green, I hope he has a long career that continues to flourish with the Tiffany Network. I do feel like there's a, with Matt Ryan, he always seemed to be someone that would be destined to be in a broadcast booth. He looked like that when he was 27 years old. When you take his helmet off, he's like, oh, he looks like he's should be standing next to Ian Eagle. And now here we are. That time has come, and he's coming off obviously a rough couple of years, back end of his career, where he struggled in Atlanta with a not so hot team, and then went to Indianapolis and was part of that tire fire. So now he joins CBS. He reiterated, by the way, that he's not retiring, and there's a business reason for that, because he's still due $12 million from the Colts this year. So it would not behoove him to retire, because that would muddy up those greenbacks from heading into his bank account from the Colts, who are desperate to just move forward as an organization.
Wow.
My other point that I make about Matt Ryan, there is a tendency for – even though there's more scrutiny than ever on these booths, it's almost like everybody wants the same thing. And there's just like a flattening out of what you expect from your play-by-play guy and what your announcer. And that's why part of what made Romo a sensation for that brief period. It's like, well, he's got this enthusiasm and he's predicting plays. He's just different. And then when you see Greg Olsen, who I like a lot, but he's now held up as this like the vanguard, it's like he's just like pretty steady. He's not like a lot of juice to him. Give me the Matt Ryan who's a maniac, the guy that there are legends about how angry and he's screaming at people on the field and has like a ton of aggression in him when he studies the game and sees plays not go the way they want. I want Matt Ryan with the red face. I want him getting mad. I want some more personality in the booths in general, in the NFL and really in sports media in general. But these NFL booths, and maybe Matt Ryan will shock us and not just be a milquetoast generic XQB like some others we've known, but kind of brings a little edge and gets a little mad at the guys and isn't afraid to be overly critical. Mix it up, Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think it's so like unpredictable which one of these guys succeed. And it's funny because Matt Ryan was that way and fiery, except always had an attitude of kind of being dull. You think about Matt Ryan, you kind of think of like maybe just a notch or two personality-wise more exciting than
even
Joe
his name.
Flacco. Yeah, but I mean, maybe he'll be great. I mean, I think it's interesting that he's hopping right in where, while there's increasing doubt that Tom Brady will ever take the role that he signed up for.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
There's not increasing doubt.
There's literally reporting
right here,
now.
Me and Mark.
Yeah, no, just you guys keep saying it.
Go read what Andrew Marchand's put out over the last
Go read what Andrew Marchand said as a pushback to him getting aggregated off his podcast.
So hold on. So like the one thing is, why does Tom Brady need an entire year to go prepare for this when Matt Ryan's just going to go do it right now?
Because Brady has the ability to do that.
Well,
he could do whatever he wants.
Seem very invested in Tom Brady doing this, but I think
the start, I have a sandwich on, and I said, Everybody's got to chill out. Everybody's expecting him to do something crazy.
I think it's a great sign
anywhere.
When you're like, I might do this in a year. Like, it's in general in life. It's like, I'm really excited about doing this, but I'll maybe pick it up in a year.
Can I turn it around?
Right. I just realized he's going to be at he committed to going to the Patriots game week one. I guess he's not working.
He's already said he's not working at all this year.
I'm going to turn it around. Why are people like you guys so invested in him not doing it?
We just like our predictions to be right.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is.
I find that it's interesting.
I mean, I think
why everybody's so like plugged into the idea of him reneging on the agreement. I think part of me, I'm trying to like say like, well, no, like he sought out this contract. It's a huge deal. It gives him high visibility at a huge salary with not a ton of work. Why are we just assuming he's looking to get out of a deal that he sought out and signed?
I think it was just like an exciting moment. Like Kendall Roy got Tom Brady signed up for a minute, then they got to have a press release, and then nothing ever happens.
All right. I guess we'll see. I love
it. You talk about the burning intensity. Don't worry about who you're talking about. Be critical. It's like, right. I need a year to sit on this and maybe get better at it. It's like, I just don't see that fight. Would Tom Brady take a year to go play football?
I think
football
he was saying, I just played football for 20 straight years. Well, and I'm going to dive into this, so I'm taking a year.
Came in what, 2008? It's not like he's jumping out of his career after his first contract.
I think it's more likely that Tom Brady will be announcing games at some point than it is that Matt Ryan is suddenly going to turn into Don Rickles have a lot of fire. I think he could be good. And
that's my hope and wish, but a dream, really, but not the reality.
I can't imagine that, just hearing him in front of a microphone. That said, I think he could be. I just want information. I want to get smarter. And if he's a little dry, but he's like the Mayock type of announcer where he's teaching the audience and is a little dry, I like that. And that's what I'm hoping for, because I don't think we're getting personality, fiery Matt Ryan. I haven't seen that guy.
It'd be cool, though, wouldn't it?
It would be cool.
Like, oh, nice wow. Surprise.
It's a Matt Ryan game. Oh, yeah. Team X is playing poorly. Oh, Ryan's calling the game. He's going to give it to him. Or he'll get, he's hyper emotional about certain players. It's like, that's why I want Dan Campbell to win a Super Bowl with the Lions at some point, but I also love to see Dan Campbell going off on some bros in the booth. He could be like a Madden-esque figure, maybe.
It'd be a great surprise for Matt Ryan to be what you're suggesting.
The letter H.
All right,
Greg.
I'm going to go with one of the most underrated words in the English language, hirsute.
Nice one.
Hirsute, meaning like hairy or shaggy. And, it's a great time for the offseason, just like the best beards. Or just to think about, like, it's a time for people to experiment with their facial hair.
Who's the most hirsute on the show?
Right now?
Probably Greg.
Oh, I'm the hairiest?
Yeah,
well, not
probably
now,
the most
though.
Body hair per capita.
Yeah, because I
You have a hairy chest, don't you?
I do. I do.
I think there were like beach images that leaked of Greg about 8-9 years ago on Facebook.
Beach images that leaked.
Yeah. Damashek was all over it. I remember that.
That is ridiculous.
Oh my God. I kind of remember that.
Yeah, I don't.
Damashek was up in arms about
it. I don't. On the
cover
of,
taken down or something.
Of the other podcast, they do the Justin Lincoln Roosevelt Vanity
You took
Project.
Them
off? I show it.
Okay, go ahead.
Show it off a little bit.
What do you mean you showed off on the other podcast?
Well, just no. The,
In your robe.
Cover art. I'm wearing like a robe and you can kind of see it. So everyone check that out on iTunes.
You're not like Robin Williams or anything?
I'm basically a wet seal.
Robin. Like I just don't have a lot. Mark is probably very average on balance, I would say, in terms of.
There's a little on the front, but it's
yeah.
I look at my brother though, and my dad, and they're just kind of like gorillas walking around, like, very hairy backs and stuff. So I'm happy in my family that I'm the least hirsute. But it also could just be like hairy and shaggy. I mean, right now maybe it's Mark with the beard. I don't know.
A little bit.
I mean,
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a huge like debate between the three of us on this front.
Why
are we going down this road?
I don't know.
What does that have to do? Yeah. What's the glossary of terms connection to here?
Well, just like we could have a best beards in the NFL conversation.
Oh.
You got Kelsey. You got Mike Evans. I've always thought is a nice beard. It's very consistent. It's always there. Darnold has one of the worst beards, I thought, when he added that.
Rose one of the tightest spirals.
It looked like a guy who couldn't really get it going. And I just think that's an...
Andy Dalton grew a surprisingly strong orange beard.
Yeah.
More attractive when he with a number of his styling moves. Yeah.
It just felt like more that's something you can experiment with in the offseason. It's an offseason conversation. And then once we were in the offseason during the pandemic, think we have a shot of it.
Do we?
Eric, let's take a look.
Oh, my God.
If you're watching us on YouTube, we got our great friend Chris Wessling. We got Mark. I mean, Mark might be the most hirsute guy there. I don't know. I don't know how to use hirsute.
It's weird because I had never attempted to truly grow out a beard until the world nearly ended or seemed like it was ending. So I just, it just kept on. It didn't really grow in full in like a cool mountain man way. It just was splotchy and itchy after a while. And it's like, this sucks.
So mine was maybe like the longest and it like the thickest in parts. But again, I'm not connecting the mustache with the beard. So it's not really looking. Wes's was fantastic.
It was a solid beard.
And, Wes and Mark's was head. Great as well.
I mean, it was a very strange time. We had an agreement just to keep growing the beards. Then suddenly, unannounced, I remember this one show and I got, you know, a little bit inappropriately annoyed by it. I think Dan and Greg just suddenly shaved out of nowhere with no announcement. It was just like, well, what happened to our, we had an agreement. And then it was like,
who,
yeah, but
who
now
went
we're,
first?
We're out and out.
Maybe
we're moving on.
Know.
We're, our society's somebody, moving back to normal.
Maybe it was you. But it does sound like something you get like me. Really
well,
mad
we didn't
about.
Discuss. I mean, it's not, you know, it's just like blinded by by the move. Just,
it wasn't like you were left to be humiliated when we did the next show and you still had the beard, though.
You look nice.
I don't know. It piqued me.
I just wanted to get her stew out there.
All right.
People should learn.
Good job. Good work. That's Wes and I used to use the word Zaftig a lot.
Yeah. Like a large-ass individual.
A Rubenesque woman.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break, and we'll hit the rest of part one.
Here's what I found from dictionary.com. A woman's figure. Plump but shapely. Curvaceous.
That literally was not planned.
That has to go on the show. That has to go
Whoa,
on the show.
Whoa, my Apple Watch wanted to chime in. Or whether, maybe that was Chris.
What did she say, plump but shapely?
Yeah.
That has to go on. Wait, what was it even talking
Zaftig.
About?
Zaftig.
Oh, Zaftig. It gave the definition. Or maybe it was my search history.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdrawals about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, we're back. Let's finish out part one here, starting with Mark. I.
All right, I is for imbroglio.
Ah, another good word.
Yeah, it means, I mean, it's got a couple meanings, but it's an intricate and confusing interpersonal situation, and we've all been there. But in this case, I refer to the Niners. And I think I'm going to ask you if it's an imbroglio, because I look at this quarterback situation, and we're familiar with it, but there are some new developments on one level when it comes to Kyle Shanahan, who can't seem to get enough of a good thing. You've got like this post-surgery wonder boy with Brock Purdy, and it's like he's not. I just assume he's not going to start the season. But why would we never not be fascinated to see what he is on the other side of this rehab, right? You've got a former first-round pick in Trey Lance who's thrown 102 passes in two seasons, and you sold the farm for him, and he's just hanging out. And then you bring in a first-round flameout in Sam Darnold, who, frankly, I mean, because we've seen Kyle Shanahan.
Sam Darnold!
We've seen him endure, really, I'd say, a really elongated, intense man crush on Kirk Cousins back in the day. And maybe it still goes on. You don't hear about it as much. But there were even little whispers this offseason that Kirk Cousins could have been a target for Kyle Shanahan. So I am just wondering, because I'm at this point now where I don't care about facts. I just assume that Darnold is going to start a game or two out of the gate. I absolutely do. If you listen to what Kyle Shanahan is saying about Sam Darnold, I think we could be 3 weeks into the season, and if you get Sam Darnold, who does have skills, and you could argue everywhere he's been has been a mess, you get the Shanahan treatment, and you get the three best weeks of Sam Darnold's existence on the field, and he's like zipping passes to Deebo Samuel and doing things that, you know, better than Jimmy G. And then suddenly you've got a healthy Brock Purdy sitting there, and you've got Trey Lance, who you sold multiple first-round picks for as your third-string quarterback. This is like not a QB room. It's like a QB harem. And I am just wondering, like, is this an imbroglio? Like, a sort of a sketchy, intricate, and confusing interpersonal situation? Or is it just another Niners offseason and we don't need to worry about it because it's all going to figure itself out?
Anybody that's listened to the show for any period of time, including my friend Gospel, who I met out to Mother's Day dinner last night, who is a huge fan of the show and had a lot of questions about things going on behind the scenes.
Shout out to
Gospel. Knows that I've been banging the table for Darnold getting a real chance in terms of good coaching, good players around him. I'm very excited and hopeful he does get that chance in San Francisco because I think he could do well. Because I think not to take down Brock Purdy at all, but I really do think Kyle Shanahan and that setup there is so good that if you can get a guy that is a professional, that knows the playbook, that can make quick reads and put a throw on the money with some accuracy. Shanahan went out of his way to say that he calls Sam Darnold a unbelievable thrower of the football. I think he thinks he can do the offense the way Brock Purdy did, and if he does, Darnold's going to probably hold on to that job for a while, but a lot has to happen still in terms of learning what's going on with Trey Lance and his finger, and of course Purdy and his elbow.
I think the key word you said there were quick reads. That's where Brock Purdy aced the old S2 test, and I think that's why Sam Darnold is on his third team. He doesn't make quick reads. He doesn't make quick decisions. He doesn't have the quarterback processing to this point. I think that's what's gotten in his way.
But doesn't the other stuff factor in potentially into making quick decisions, whether it's line play,
well, everything's
weapons
wide
around you?
I mean,
the play calling.
I think you either have a natural sort of NFL quarterbacking ability in terms of, and you can improve it, certainly. Darnold's young, but I don't think he has that at a level. Like, I think Purdy as a rookie was already better than Darnold's ever been. Now, Kyle Shanahan's system. I'm just saying in that one trait, Kyle Shanahan's system is such that you have answers to the test on every play, you have open receivers, and that, yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see Darnold looking great. I just don't know how Trey Lance fits into all this.
I think you almost have to try to trade Trey Lance if you're sold that Darnold can just be your...
So the reporting out there now around Lance was that the finger injury from his first season led to a complication in his second season that was keeping him from throwing the ball the way he wants to, and apparently that's now corrected. Now, a lot of this is the classic spin that you hear every offseason. Like, this thing that used to be a problem is no longer a problem anymore. It sounds like a lot of excuses for a guy who's, you know, as much as we rightfully kill Zach Wilson for being a bust, like Trey Lance taken right behind him, has done not much more.
Barely played
in the 2 years he's been in the league, so... I just don't know what kind of trade value he has right now.
I don't think much.
I think it would need to be like, you know, a team with promise. Again, loses someone the same way they could have maybe traded Jimmy G a year ago, and it didn't happen. There's no guarantee there's a space for him anywhere.
Weirdly, Walker has started in the mornings because for some reason, like, it's allowed that he can watch some sports in the morning, before, you know, because he gets up so early, but not like regular TV. But he started going back and watching the season on Game Pass, and he had Trey Lance's start up the other morning. I couldn't help but watch it, and then I was like, and I know everyone's like, oh, I was in a rainstorm and it's one game, that's all true, but like, he doesn't have the pocket presence where he like stays cool if there's anything going on around him. He just sort of freaks out.
From one angle, there is something really beautiful about the way that Walker is just loving sports and really in many ways reminds me of what probably a young Greg would be. From another angle, I feel like it's like that old SI story on like Todd Marinovich's father, where like he's just being basically groomed to be an NFL.com writer by age 12 or so.
Well,
like,
during game,
wakes up one day, he's 17. He's like, what happened to my childhood?
Exactly.
During game 7 of the Celtics, who have tried to raise him as a big fan, we have been, he's off watching NASCAR because he's more into that. So can't control him.
All right. Up next, Jay. Jay is for jubilation. Jay is for justice. Jay is for Jesus is real. This commander sale is going to happen. You know how I know? It's on our website, NFL.com, that the partnership led by Josh Harris, who co-owns multiple professional sports teams, has entered into a purchase and sale agreement with the Washington Commanders owners Dan and Tanya Snyder to buy the franchise. The two sides announced on Friday. The agreement is subject to NFL approval by a vote of at least three-fourths of the league's 3-4 is 75%. 24 votes needed. And there's another report out there, Greggy, that under ordinary circumstances, there are some questions about how many people are involved with the purchase of the team, Magic Johnson and a whole host of people, that the NFL is not entirely comfortable with some specifics of this new ownership group. However, they want to turn the page so badly that this Josh Harris group is in a great situation where the NFL is more willing to look past things maybe they ordinarily would not, because it is time to give the Commanders life again.
Well, plus he's paying $6 billion for the team. $6 billion. Like,
$6.05 billion.
The Panthers were...
What is a .05, by the way? What is that? Is that...
.05
yeah.
of a billion?
So what is it? It's six, like...
500,000? I don't know.
500 million? 500 trillion, $6 billion, $500 trillion.
I mean, I didn't get a 39 on a state mandated test, but I didn't do that well.
Yeah, but now we're both in the weeds on the same math equation. So what did it all mean in the end?
I'm not high enough to get this quickly. It really shouldn't be that hard.
It's $300,000.
Oh, really?
That was pretty close.
In fact, I'm not sure that's right, but I believe it is.
$6,300,000. Such a weird... It's like such a weird like little add-on there, the 300 G's.
I think, yeah. It
just call it six
again,
bill.
To go back to the Roys, it seemed like he was fixated because there were reports that they were going to get more than $6 billion. And so this is more than $6 billion, and he made those reports come true. This is all great. It reminds me a little bit of you know how we saw in the rookie minicamps this weekend that football is back. Like that there's 75 different moments that football is back. Like I feel like there's already been three or four moments where the Commanders were sold, and there's still gonna be more because the owners actually have to officially vote on it, and he has to officially become the owner. Like Snyder is still the owner as of today. So we'll do a parade, and we've talked about it before. It is it's one of the most momentous things to happen since we've started doing this podcast. A franchise that has been all but destroyed and taken for granted and just run into the ground that has great fans is gonna have someone different running. It's amazing.
It is terrible news probably for Ron Rivera after essentially going probably in bad. And doing, you know, taking hazard pay to run the place. For multiple years, I think that everyone will be swept out.
He's a smart guy, though, right?
It's so long, though, he's getting one more year.
That's what I mean. Like, this is not ideal for him as, you know, winning a Super Bowl as a head coach, but he's, yeah. By the way, I should just because.
Win 10 games and he'll keep a job.
It's obviously a big story with a lot of layers, so I should be a little more specific. It's the Washington Post that shares the opinion. This is via PFT. From an unnamed person familiar with the sale process, quote, if not for the other owner's strong desire to remove Snyder from the league, the Harris deal probably would not have been approved without some revisions. One issue is the raw size of the proposed group of limited partners. They each have to be properly vetted by the league. That will slow things down.
I mean, the Dolphins had like the Gloria Estefan and all those other people involved.
Well, they were just kind of like...
Like all the Williams sisters?
Yeah.
Not just Serena and Venus. There's like 14 others. There's just like, they're all in. Come on in.
Irvin Magic Johnson is part of this group. And
as he said, well, God really blessed him with an amazing sports week, and the Lakers won. My Dodgers swept the Padres. He also owns the Dodgers. And I became an owner. He should have specified NFL owner, but I don't get the sense there's a lot of editing with his tweets in general.
No.
Because he already was an owner.
Magic, man.
He's doing it.
What a ride for Magic, huh? I mean, if you're old enough to know the Magic story, what a ride.
That is true.
All right, let's wrap it up. We got a couple more. Let's see. K, Greg.
All right. K is for kinetic, pertaining to motion, caused by motion. And to me, that is the Miami Dolphins. Like, they are the pre-snap movement before the snap. Everything just looks in perfect harmony after the snap. Like, they are kinetic. And it reminds me of how when Kyle Shanahan has shown up to places like Atlanta, everyone's like, hey, you're two Kyle Shanahans. Like, Matt Ryan kind of struggled that first year, but that second year, that's when it really clicked in and the whole MVP thing happened. Mike McDaniel, like, laughed at that. He didn't need a year to set it up. He had it all coached so well from day one that they looked in perfect harmony. They have great continuity. We've talked about all the good things they've done on their defense, so I think they'll just be a better team because they're deep on defense, have better defensive coaching. But to me, this is his chance. In Miami, you just don't know how many perfect chances you're going to get. How long is Tyreek Hill going to be in his prime? Like, everything is there right now. They have terrific continuity. They brought in Isaiah Wynn, which I thought was a smart signing over the weekend, a guy who's in my top 50 who actually upgrades their tackle depth quite a bit. He might start for them. Just give him a shot. He's had some good snaps in
his
career.
It's also problematic, maybe, but
he struggled the last couple of years and didn't really seem to be on, you know, on the straight and narrow. But he has some good NFL tape, which most people available now do not. I just, to me, this offense is kinetic. It's perfect. It's like right now is the year for them to take off. There is a chance it'll happen.
Really rough division. I mean, their schedule, like when we say like the Patriots schedule, it's like it's every one of these teams are dealing with the same thing. But every time before Mike McDaniel was hired, it was like, this is the guy behind Kyle Shanahan that's doing all these things.
Right.
That, like, basically told Debo Samuel in that final season before he went to the Dolphins, like, if you let me, you know, when he was doing an immense amount of rushing and receiving, if you let me handle your career this year, I'll give you a year that makes you a ton of money. It's like he specializes in taking certain players and creating some of their finest seasons, which is what Kyle Shanahan did, like in Houston and other places before he was a head coach himself. So, I mean, there's nothing not to agree with here.
And Mike McDaniel was there with Kyle at almost every step of the way.
Sure.
And if he is really the guy, not like the guy versus Kyle, but just like the next guy as like a true innovator, I just think it's set up for this season to potentially be really special offensively.
You could tell me the Dolphins are playing in the AFC title game, and I'd believe you. You tell me that they finished last place in the AFC East, I would believe you equally.
That's a volatile division.
Yeah. But them especially, they're like, they do feel like, and obviously the health of the quarterback is a major part
right.
of it.
If Tua was healthy, I'd be shocked if they're not good, but, you know. We get shocked in this.
And Mike White is a better backup, but still not an overly proven player himself who's had issues staying on the field at times. So there's a lot of variance there, but it's all on paper. It's all there.
Kinetic.
K. L. Mark.
Here's another team that I'm annoyed at. L is for Luck Be a Lady Tonight, sung once by Marlon Brando, sung by Frank Sinatra many times.
That's what I always thought he was. It was canon. It was Frank.
I mean, it's from a play, Guys and Dolls, and I believe Brando was was in the play.
I didn't know that.
But Sinatra took that New York song, too, and made it his.
Yeah, Sinatra, absolutely.
He sure did.
Like, no
that was kind of what his thing was.
He right, no one's thinking Guys and Dolls. I get that.
Right.
I get that part. But right. I sort of just shoved that in there. That's what the L
what a voice on that Sinatra, huh?
He's a good singer. But I would ask you this. Could you ever imagine Josh McDaniels in a top hat and cane singing that song on the biggest stage of all? Well, me neither. Because L is for the Las Vegas Raiders, who strike me slightly as an identity-free and drifting franchise.
Wait, my head's spinning a little bit right now.
This is about the Raiders.
The biggest stage, so you're saying singing that song at the on the riser at the Super Bowl? Or like a stage like in Vegas?
In this world, him singing, like being the star of the show and singing would be him coaching the Raiders in the Super Bowl.
Oh, so not even specifically singing that song, but just being a...
It's a metaphor. It's like his time in the sun, and I'm not sure that time's coming.
All right, go ahead.
So this is a team that, let me get this straight. I understand that
Vegas,
maybe
Vegas!
Maybe not everything went your way, but you bench Derek Carr, you ship him out of town in a box. Then after all this time, your quarterback is Jimmy G, who's basically just a better looking Derek Carr. So it's I know that Raiders fans.
That's actually David Carr.
That's true too.
Yeah, but that's a little. That's hitting
but I'm just comparing their playing ability. And like Raiders fans are always getting super defensive, hot and bothered over words against their team. But I'm going to ask you this right now: the Las Vegas Raiders, are they better than the Bills? Are they better than the Jets? Are they better than the Dolphins? Are they better than the Patriots? Are they better than the Bengals? Are they better than the Ravens? Are they better than the Steelers? Are they better than the Browns? Are they better than the Jaguars? Are they better than the Chargers? Are they better than the Chiefs? Welcome to nothingness.
Oh, my God. Sessler.
We definitely got a dark overnight Sessler vision. It's not a lot of sunshine. Man.
I was surprised. Yeah. When I looked up and down the AFC, because my answer to every one of those is either definitely or very likely no.
Okay, yeah, you skipped the AFC South, and yeah, so you left out a few teams. But if your point is going into the season, on paper, they're probably like 12th in the AFC or whatever that list would have come out to.
12th, 13th?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with you. The crazy thing is I look at their roster, I'm doing the projected starters, and like, I'm shocked they kept the offensive line the same, and they definitely got a lot of questions on defense. But, like, I just look at that roster overall, and I'm like, eh, that's a 6 or 7 win team. But you're right, in the AFC, that might not be enough to even win 4 or 5. You know, it could be tough. It could be tough.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, that, like, it's that old, if you're not competing for the Super Bowl, what are you even doing? Like, if you're investing money in big-time veterans like a Davante Adams making a big splash for Jimmy G and all that. If you're not actually in contention, is this the right way to be running a team? So that, I get that. So if you're a Raiders fan, do you think you're going to win the Super Bowl this year? No, you're probably not. But do they also, are they so bad that they're like one of those, like the Cardinals fans are feeling this year, that like, why are we even going to watch
Cardinals
the games
have a plan
this year? Yeah, but I'm just saying in terms of like, we're looking
What's
ahead
their
to this.
Plan?
The Cardinals like have essentially like a massive haul of draft picks, and they're using this
right,
year.
They're
as
tanking
a,
this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, so which like is a plan.
So then it becomes like, what as a fan would you rather have? Would you rather have an organization like the Cardinals, since you mentioned them, that or I mentioned them, that completely has cashed in on an entire season and they're tolling a year forward? Or do you want to have the organization that might not be running at a high level and Super Bowl level, but they're trying and they're going to hopefully hang around in the wild card race, and maybe they'll win a couple games that they lost last year, and at the end of the season they're 9-8, or maybe they squeeze out a 10-7 and surprise some people? I think that's within the range of outcomes for the Raiders.
It
personally
is. I don't think the Raiders, they came into existence, were branded on mediocrity.
I get that. I get all that, but that's a long time ago now, the Al Davis Raiders and all that. I'm just saying, like, when I think about truly kind of depressing setups in the league, I'm not quite on the same page as you. But I know you're more kind of, I'm not a Josh McDaniels fan, but this is not new. You do not believe in the McDaniels experience in general.
I want to. I'm not trying to, I think there are little like whispers and anecdotes, and there's past stops at when he's the top person that leave me a little concerned. And I don't think all that's completely out of the wash right now.
I'm more concerned about Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, and that roster on defense. And if they're just one of the worst defenses in the league, they're not going to be good enough offensively to make up for it. I do think Josh McDaniels trying to stack his offense as much as he can to make himself, and that's not a bad way to go, to make the offense look good. And it could. Adams, Jacoby Myers, Renfrow, Michael Mayer, Josh Jacobs, that's a pretty good group around Jimmy G, if you can keep him healthy. But like I said, I was shocked they just kept the same offensive line. That was very strange.
All right, last one. Here we go. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. M is for money.
Money. Give it to me.
Mrs. Miller once said, money makes the world go round. Quinnen Williams wants it. He wants it all. And how annoying is it a guy that deserves all the money, you're starting to think, oh no, is this turning into another one of those things for the Jets? Because Williams, who said months ago, hey, give me a new long-term deal that pays me at the top of the market, that reflects that I'm an all-pro player that is one of the top defensive ends in the league. Take care of me. And then what does he do? Trope alert. He scrubs the Jets from his bio. It now says, I don't know if it's changed since now, but defensive line for the, I think it's question mark, question mark, question mark. And I know this is all posturing and all of it, but you can go back for years as far back as like Keyshawn Johnson, Darrell Revis, Jamal Adams. The Jets have an issue paying guys that they draft and then giving them that second contract, even when they deserve it. Do not do that with this guy. This guy is a foundational piece. Don't turn this into an offseason of, are the Jets going to trade Quinnen? Just pay the man. Dexter Lawrence just got a ton of guap. Give him the deal, a better deal than that, and move on. Okay? And I know you got a lot of other stuff going on. You're reworking the Aaron Rodgers contract, but do not turn this into an issue because I'm kind of tired of it. It's hard to develop a superstar when you have it. Keep the guy in the building if he's a guy you trust and believe in.
It's interesting that you brought up Leonard Williams, not intentionally, but like that's another – I feel like in the time that we've worked together, four or five like Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber defensive linemen that the Jets have not been able to hang with who've gone on to play elsewhere and been productive. And it's like there's so much hanging on to the Jets this season. And it's like they are under an immense amount of pressure. And like no matter what, Aaron Rodgers or not, like what you really believe in on that team is the defense. And Quinnen Williams, like what he did last season, is that guy for the Jets. And it's like you can't go on this journey and into week one with him anywhere else but on your roster. But I do trust Joe Douglas to figure it out because I feel like we're in this world where like you can find a way to pay anyone. Think where we were with Deebo Samuel a year ago. You can find a way to pay every one of these people.
Don't let it spiral.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the Dexter Lawrence signing where Lawrence got $60 million guaranteed on a four-year deal. Lawrence played so well late last year. It was really their best player overall, I would say, at the end of last year. And yeah, Quinnen Williams, he's not being subtle about it. I think it's just a normal part of the process. He probably, I would guess, will get paid. It will be this offseason, I think, at some point. You might have to go through some annoying stories. But yeah, it says defensive tackle for .. which is a lot of dots. And the last tweet that he retweeted was Dexter Lawrence's contract. And one of the last things he liked on Twitter was from a kid from Queens 3 who said, stop effing around and sign Q since you want to post him an S word as quote retweeting a Jets tweet, which included Quinnen Williams. So I think Quinnen is letting everyone know how he feels.
How about this? Quinnen, like, you know, you don't need an agent for this. Just do the Lamar thing. Go take the Dexter Lawrence contract. Turn it over to the Jets and say, add $10 million to this, and let's go. And see what Joe says.
I mean, I think it makes...
That might be tough, because I don't know. Dexter Lawrence at least had a better year last year.
It makes sense to scrub all your social at this point. I think you just do it, and you know we're talking about it, because that's a notable thing.
Add 0.05...
That works.
Or billion.
Quinnen's more of a pass rusher anyways, and a better player, for what it's worth, I think, than Leonard
just
Williams.
Just 0.05.
I think they're going to get it done. I don't think it's going to mushroom into a total apocalypse.
He's better than Leonard Williams. He's better than Sheldon Richardson. He is much closer to like a Revis talent, in my opinion. Revis is a Hall of Famer, actually. So maybe somewhere in between those two. Just don't create another distraction. All right, that's part one of the glossary, A to Z. We'll be back on Thursday with the great Colleen Wolf, who's going to help us out for part two. Good to have Connie around. Good to have anybody around.
These days.
Final thoughts?
Just want to say I, you know, sometimes use jokes to show my affection. And sometimes they're little jabs. it's part of how I grew up. And so my mention of your jean jacket, you know, back at our dinner and even as of today, it's a sign of appreciation.
At this point, I feel really comfortable with what you've said, and I appreciate your appreciation. And I also enjoy your wardrobe.
And to everybody behind the glass, if you want to get a still of me, I could even sit still. And if you could just Photoshop both of the gentlemen on each shoulder, black and white, devil and angel. I mean, that's gold.
I mean, and that... Right there, what you did was just an advertisement. You got to check out the YouTube to see the facial expression the character work.
Absolutely.
That Hansus is doing over here. A regular Kieran Culkin over here.
Kieran Culkin.
I love that dude.
He's... Roman Roy's a tough character, man. I'll tell you what. Spoiler alert.
Verbal skills.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.